In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. Today we're going to look at Mark's Gospel. But before we look at Mark's Gospel, I want to tell you Deuteronomy 1, verse 11. Listen carefully. May the Lord, the God of your ancestors, increase you 1,000 times more and bless you as he has promised you. Oh yes, may the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, may the Lord, our God, the God of our ancestors, increase you 1,000 times and bless you as he has promised you. We need the blessing of God, and he promises to bless us as we give our life to Jesus. Oh, how we need to be blessed by the grace of God. How we need to be blessed by God himself. How we need that God would answer prayer and show us that he has given us the authority that he has given Jesus. This is real. This is real. I'm looking at Mark's Gospel. Now, Mark's Gospel is it centers upon the cross. And Mark's Gospel is written to Rome, the believers in Rome. And it says, in the beginning of the good news, in the beginning of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, good news. Why? Because it brings salvation to those who believe. He is the Son of God, yes. From all eternity, Jesus the Lord is the Son of God. He just didn't become the Son of God in the womb of Mary, but he was the Son of God from all eternity, as it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you." I wonder how many messengers there are that make ready for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I wonder how many messengers there are that make ready for the gospel of Jesus Christ, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. I wonder how many voices there are that lead us to the Lord Jesus Christ, that lead us to the cross of Jesus Christ, that lead us to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. A voice crying in the wilderness. This is John the Baptist. Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of our sins. And I'm telling you, people came. They came from Jerusalem and all around the Jordan River to confess their sins and to give their life over. Now I'm asking you, when's the last time you confessed your sins? We have confession at Holy Rosary every Saturday at 4:30, or some people make an appointment and come early. It doesn't have to be on a Saturday. But John proclaimed a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, and the people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan. But what were they doing? They were confessing their sins. They were turning away from their sins. Confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair. I wonder if people have taken notice that he was clothed with camel's hair. This is unclean. This is not kosher. With a leather belt. Again, something not kosher around his waist. And he ate locusts and wild honey. John the Baptist screaming, repent. Repent from your sins. Repent of your sins. Give your life over to the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel ultimately is Christ has died, Christ is buried, and Christ will come again. He will come again because he's the risen Lord. The gospel is Christ has died, Christ is buried, and Christ is raised from the dead. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me." The one we proclaim, his name is Jesus, is far more powerful than the one who proclaims Jesus. As a matter of fact, it's the weak of the world that he chooses to proclaim the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. That's Jesus. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. In other words, John was humble. He knew that he wasn't worthy of Jesus. He knew that his job was to proclaim and prepare the way of the Lord. "I have baptized you with water," John says, "but he, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." How we need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, because when we receive that baptism of the Spirit, we begin to minister to people. We begin to minister to many people. How we need the baptism of the Spirit. And who baptizes us in the Spirit? His name is Jesus. Jesus baptizes in the Holy Spirit. I know that the baptism of the Spirit has led my life to proclaim Jesus Christ to the nations, to the people, to the few, to the many. The baptism of Jesus. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan, where he had no sins to confess. But what happens as he is baptized in the Jordan? And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open apart and the Spirit of God descending like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." What happened at the Jordan River? Jesus is anointed. The whole Trinity is seen. Jesus the Son of the eternal God, the Holy Spirit, the dove, the Father's voice, "This is my Son, my Beloved, the one in whom I am well pleased." Do you know that you are the Beloved of the Lord? You say, "I'm not Jesus, nor neither am I," but he loves us. We are the Beloved of God. The Word of God says, "Beloved, beloved, be loved, be loved." That's what God wants to do. He wants to love us, that we are his beloved in Christ, in Jesus. We are his beloved children in Jesus. Those who accepted him, he gave the power to become children of God, John says. And the Spirit immediately drove Jesus out of the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Why the wild beasts? Because the people in Rome were going to the wild beasts, the people that were Christian. And so Jesus was with the wild beasts also. And what's Jesus saying? No wild beast can take away your faith. No wild beast can take away you being beloved of God. No wild beast, no matter how sharp their teeth are, can take you from being away from Jesus Christ. The beginning of the Galilean ministry. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God, the kingdom of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the gospel." Repent. Again, turn away from your sins and believe the gospel. Believe the good news. As Jesus passed along the seashore of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Listen now next. And immediately, you're going to hear a lot of immediatelys in Mark's gospel. Why? Because he's running toward the cross. And immediately they left their nets and followed Jesus. As he went a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat, mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed Jesus. I wonder how Mr. Zebedee reacted that his two sons left the boat to follow Jesus. I tell you, we have to leave things behind to follow Jesus. We have to leave pornography behind to follow Jesus. We have to leave hatefulness behind to follow Jesus. We need to know that we need to take and seriously our lives when we follow Jesus. We have to leave things behind. Fear, yes, we have to leave fear behind. Perfect love casts out fear. You are the beloved of the Lord Jesus Christ and of the Father. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath day came, that Saturday, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching. Why? For he taught them as one having authority. Authority. I tell you, we need the authority of the Holy Spirit, that when we preach the gospel, things begin to happen. Jesus left the church the authority in the power of the Holy Spirit. When you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, he said you would receive power, power, dynamos from on high. For he taught them as having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth?" The unclean spirit knew Jesus. "Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are." The devil knows who Jesus is. He is the enemy of the devil. "I know who you are." Let me tell you, the devil cannot torment Jesus, but because he can't torment Jesus, he torments you, and torment is never of God. "I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Shut up, be silent, and come out of him." And the unclean spirit convulsed him, crying out with a loud voice, came out of the man. And they were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this, a new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." There is authority in the name of Jesus. And if we don't take the authority, and the authority is always for other people, not only for ourselves, if we don't take the authority, we lose it. You know, if we just think, you know, I'm a priest and I celebrated Mass today and that's all there is. No, there's power in the Mass. There's power in the Eucharist. There's power in the Holy Spirit. There's authority that God has given me and given not only the priest, but the people who have been filled with the Holy Spirit. There's an authority. In other words, Jesus passes on to the church what he, as a human being, both God and man, had and has. And he passes on this authority. At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. People started to talk. They started to talk about Jesus. I had a man yesterday that asked me to pray for his friend who was in the car, that she would be free of alcohol. So I raised my hand and prayed that she would be free of alcohol and free of torment and free of tormented guilt. And then today, somebody else asked me to pray for, I believe, their hip. And I just prayed with raising my hand that God would heal him completely. Yes, we have that authority. We have authority. The first person that we prayed with the lady that needed deliverance from liquor, he said, "You prayed for me 2 years ago, and I haven't drunk since." That's God. That's the authority of God. That's God's power working through broken vessels. Yes. You say you're broken. Well, so what am I? We're all broken. But we have authority, and we need to take the authority or we lose it. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew and James and John. So Jesus entered the house of Simon and Andrew and James and John. And what happened? Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with the fever, and they told him about her at once, immediately. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That's amazing. He just takes her by the hand. The power of God comes upon her, and the fever left her. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons. I tell you, people started to talk about this wonderful Jesus, that he had authority and he wanted to heal the sick and he wanted to heal the demonic. And people began to talk about Jesus and they began to follow him, look for him wherever he went. And the whole city was gathered around the door, and he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak. Why? Because Jesus gets the gospel out by the children of God, not by the demons. Because they knew him, yeah? The demons know Jesus. And I tell you, the demons know you too. That's why you've got to be always in the heart of Jesus, always in the wounds of Jesus, always in the mercy of Jesus. We're not afraid of the demons. The demons have no power over us. We have been given authority over them. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place. There he prayed. In other words, Jesus, as a man, needed to pray to the Father because he, as a man, needed to pray. And we, as men and women, need to spend time with God. Spend time with Jesus. We need Jesus. We need to pray. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. Why? When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." Listen to what Jesus says. He answered, "Let us go to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also." In other words, he wasn't looking for the crowds that were coming after him, but he was going to go to the neighboring towns and proclaim the gospel. "For that is what I came out to do." And he went through Galilee proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. This whole thing of the casting out demons, you know, I had a woman who came to us many years ago. She was from Africa, and someone had cursed her food. And I asked her, had she gone to the psychiatrist? And she said, "The pills didn't work because there are demons in me." Well, we prayed in the name of Jesus by the power of the cross that these demons would leave her, and they did. They did. She never called me back again. She was completely healed that day in the chapel. It was a Sunday. And she was completely healed. And God only knows that that authority has been given to the church. But if the church doesn't use it, it gets lost. "Let us go on to the neighboring town so that I may proclaim the message there also. For that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. And what do you think is going to happen? People are going to recognize that it's Jesus doing these things, and he is going to have people following him from every place. I tell you, we need to have people proclaiming Jesus, casting out demons, doing the work of God, and people will follow us, but we must never take it into heart that they're following us. They're looking for Jesus. "Sir," the Greek said, "we want to see Jesus." That's why it is so important to preach the Lord Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. To preach the Lord Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's stop there and continue. to talk about how much God loves us. Beloved, we are God's children now. Imagine, we have the DNA of Jesus flowing through us. What we shall be has not yet come to light, but we know when it comes to light, we shall be like him, because we're going to see him as he is. Ah, that's when he comes in glory. We're going to see Jesus as he is, and we're going to see ourselves as the beloved of God. Have you learned to love people and forgive people? I tell you, we need to love and to forgive, because God is love, and in him there is no darkness. God is light, and in him there is no darkness. Have you learned how to love? Well, you learn from the crucified Lord, the one who hung on a cross out of love for you and me, the one who was buried and the one who rose from the dead. I tell you, we need to learn how to love through Jesus Christ. My love is not enough, but the love of God in me touches people. The love of God in you touches people. We need to have that love for people, and we need to have it for people we're not even attracted to. It has nothing to do with attraction. It has everything to do with loving people that God puts in our basket. What does that mean? There are certain people that God puts in my basket. Those are the people that I am to pray for, and those are the people that I am to love. And they come and they find me. They find me, and I'm called to love them. They are not the people I would search out for usually, but they are the people of God. You know, we love to minister to the young. We love to minister to those people that look lovely. But you see, that's not what God calls us to. He calls us to love people, no matter what they look like, no matter who they are. I remember being out on the street, and this young boy was weeping. It was his first day out on the street, and he didn't know what to do, and we prayed for him. We need to bring all of our fears to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to know that he hears us and answers us. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. What have we learned today? Oh, yes, that God needs messengers to proclaim the gospel, to proclaim Jesus Christ as crucified, buried, and raised from the dead. We prepare the way of the Lord by preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We also see that in the Jordan, Jesus was filled with the glory of God. The whole Trinity manifested with Jesus. We have the Father speaking, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." We have the Son being baptized, and he did not need to be baptized. He had no sin. And we saw the Holy Spirit coming down like a dove. What else have we learned today? That people started to follow Jesus because they heard that he spoke with authority and did things with authority, like casting out demons. And they followed Jesus. But what did Jesus do? Jesus said, "I'm going off to a quiet place to pray. I need to hear from you so we can pay our bills." Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. The secretary, or my secretary, loves to hear from new people. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.